everyone, and thanks for joining us for another episode of LID Radio Podcast. I'm your host for today, Francesca, and for this episode, we're talking to Lucas Michel about his book, People-Centric Management, How Managers Use Four Levers to Bring Out the Greatness of Others. So Lucas Michel is the owner of Agility Insights, based in Switzerland, and CEO of agilityinsights.net, a global network of experienced business mentors. In addition to lecturing at universities, licensing his own agile mentoring methodology, writing on management issues, and building his consulting network, Lucas is a business leader with a track record of balance sheet accountability in his work for global corporations in Europe and Asia. So Lucas is the author of People-Centric Management. Today's dynamic business environment requires new ways to manage, lead, work, and organize. Traditional paradigms of efficiency, agency theory, transactions, and scale are replaced or augmented with principles that focus on people, self-organization, and purpose for greater innovation and growth. To expand on his previous book, Lucas Michel presents new research, practical applications, and the experience with people-centric management, agile organization, and work on the system to establish new management where people unlock their talent, master greater challenges, and perform at their peak. The book offers the legendary people-centric diagnostic that forces the reader to decode and rethink the many assumptions underlying their management models and systems. In combination, the people-centric model, the three-step process, and action agenda will help executives establish leadership everywhere to succeed in a dynamic environment. As we were recording, you might notice that there's a gentle jingling sound in the background. It turns out Lucas is in the mountains in Switzerland, and a herd of cows decided to take a visit as we were recording, which I think is quite magical. So now over to the podcast. Right, so thank you for joining us, Lucas. I want to start by talking about why you wrote the book and why you think this new management style and the focus on agility is needed, especially now.
Okay, that's actually the biggest question right up ahead. Yeah. And the easy way of answering is because the way we manage and organize today needs change. Yeah. That isn't just since we had this COVID situation. It is actually almost for the past 10 years. And here is why. There are two trends that have changed the way we manage businesses and lead people from what we call a traditional approach to a new enabling approach. In that sense, people-centric management is all about the new agile, people-centric and dynamic approach that we suggest for businesses to embark on. There are two things that really make us change. One is what we call the degree of the external challenges. This is the entire VUCA stuff. I'll come back to that shortly here. Mm-hmm. Traditional managerial operating systems, the way we normally do things, have completely lost their impact in that kind of a context. And the second trend or issue we deal with deals with people. The distribution of knowledge has completely changed in companies. Today, Peter Drucker started that conversation many years ago, we deal with what we call knowledge work. Traditional command and control management is completely unsuited for today's knowledge workers. So these are two reasons why we definitely need a different way of managing. And if you want me to, I can dig a little bit into the detail of this VUCA stuff, because that is essentially important in order to understand why things need to be different.
Yes, absolutely.
VUCA kind of is what we call the external environment to a company. And let me start with complexity. Complexity is like water. It cannot be compacted. So no manager can talk complexity away. The only thing that really works is better awareness or what we call clarity. So if you help employees to raise their awareness for what is important, then they can deal with their own complexity. As humans, we have a huge gift. That's we can deal with this VUCA stuff. And one is the complexity we can deal with. The second one is ambiguity. In times of increasing ambiguity, ambiguity is kind of like you have two kind of or three kinds of futures that you can think about. traditional rules cannot deal with them because they can only deal with what we call standard operating procedures here. However, people have ways of dealing with ambiguity in their own way. And that's what we should nurture here. Uncertainty is another one of those things. Currently uncertainty challenges all the strategies. Risk management has completely taken over. Risk managers are the important people these days in companies, not the strategy people, interesting enough.
Okay.
Now, funny enough, in times of higher uncertainty, people need trust in order to release their energy. So the question is, how do we actually build trust in companies? The last one is volatility. Volatility changes any goal. Just imagine you have agreed with your manager on your annual goals. Now, if volatility changes in the first quarter, a situation is completely different as compared to when you have agreed on your goals, then essentially goals are completely obsolete. So what we are seeing today is that the system of goal setting has completely lost its impact. The only thing that really works is people that can focus their attention on what truly matters to them. So rather than to build on these goal setting systems, we should help people to focus their attention. It's as simple as that. That's essentially what's the book all about. And as you can imagine, there is lots to do within companies and agile organizations, people-centric management, and dynamic operating systems are kind of the keywords that I'm using in order to talk about the new way of managing and organizing.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I started you off with a really big question, but it's really interesting to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it needs a little bit the context, because otherwise people-centric management is just another one of those buzzwords. And I think we have brought quite some content to it that nobody else has done yet here. That's kind of what's the unique thing about the book.
I mean, people-centric management, it includes four levers to guide you on your way to kind of capture and exploit business opportunities. And I'd like to go through these and establish why they're so important. So the first lever is like knowing with clarity. And why is this so important for people-centric management?
Yeah, let's start with the first one. This is essentially, people always want to have clarity on what they need to get done. They want to find purpose in what you're doing here. The challenge is as follows. There is always a tension between complexity that we discussed about before and the need for clarity. So people want clarity. However, there is always this complexity. So how do you deal with it? There are two things that one can do. First of all, people have a natural skill to deal with complexity. That's what's called awareness. So if you are aware of the complexity of something, then essentially you can naturally deal with it. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is organizations can resolve that tension between complexity and clarity with what we call a lever. A lever is kind of like something that you can shift from the right side to the left side, and you have the mix of either the right side or the left side. Mm-hmm. So that specific leader is a choice that businesses can make between command and control on the one side and self-responsibility on the other side. Traditional command and control means that leaders install routines that provide clarity. So far, that's okay. It works fine in a traditional kind of a setting. People-centric self-organization, on the other side, means that leaders help teams find purpose as a mean to deal with that complexity. In order, in that sense, it's leaders that help people to get more clarity here. So it's a design choice that businesses can make. And that choice, that's something we have learned over the years, is deeply embedded in the culture. So every business has made that choice somewhere along its own history here. And the question is that choice the right one in order to help people to know with clarity?
Is that purpose? I mean, is it a purpose set by the business, or is it a personal purpose? I mean, I guess everyone in the company needs to feel connected with this to have that clarity. How do you link the two between what an individual's purpose might be, or interests or passions, to the businesses?
First of all, there needs to be a fit between purpose that people search in their own lives and what business does for business. Okay. Now, the interesting thing with purpose is that that purpose needs to be found. It cannot be given.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge that businesses have. Essentially, it doesn't do any good to print any kind of, you know, huge documents about the purpose of business, whatever. If people don't connect with it, then essentially they don't find purpose. And then we have a huge disadvantage. It's only when people find purpose in what they're doing, if work makes sense to them, that's where motivation is an all-time high and performance actually happens. So there is a strong connect between those things.
I mean, moving on to kind of the second lever, it's move in one direction. So why do we need to establish kind of this shared intent to make people-centric management more effective?
Up to now, we have kind of talked about, you know, people in organizations. We have looked at people as an individual, but people don't come as individuals into companies. They come as groups of teams, of departments. So the question is, how do they all move in one direction? One direction means implement one strategy. And again, there is a tension between ambiguity and the need for direction here. So the question is, how do we actually we deal with this tension? People, again, especially self-responsible people, they can deal with this because self-responsibility assumes that you have choice. So when people have made their choice, and when it's the same choice, then you get this alignment, you get this move in one direction here. Organizations, on the other hand, they can organize in a way to resolve the tension with another lever. And the lever is between what we call traditional power. Traditional power is a means of leaders to tell people what they should be doing. That's one way of doing it. The cows out here won't listen to me. they kind of don't go with that kind of a lever here. So to take that example. On the other hand, it's people-centric delegation. So it's when leaders delegate authority into teams that find their own way of how to move forward. And that's a different way of dealing with that specific tension. So it's a choice between power and delegation. And that choice, to kind of repeat it, it's also embedded deeply in any organization. So throughout history, specific organizations have found specific ways of dealing either more on the power side or more on the delegation side. Okay, and they have found their choice that helps them to best move everybody in one direction.
Is the power versus delegation, is there like one better than the other, or is it sort of each will fit a different company?
What we know is that in a stable environment, power works extremely well. Okay. However, in a dynamic environment, when things change quickly, when situations are ambiguous, then self-organization or delegation is a much better way of dealing with things. An example, in an emergency room in a hospital, everything is highly standardized. This means that power is delegated in a way such that everybody knows what to do when a specific case comes up. As soon as this goes out of hand or something special happens, medical doctors and nurses need to shift from a power base to a delegation base, because they can only rely on their own skills and essentially do best what's best for the specific situation here. So sometimes you have these hybrid type situations where you actually have the lever on both sides almost at the same time, at the same place. And that's a choice businesses have to make. And it's important that they deliberately make those choices, because it determines how things are being done in organizations.
Yeah, it's interesting that it can flow from one to another. I mean, going on to the third lever, so it's mobilizing the energy, which is obviously very important. So in other words, kind of like the trust and the resources. How do you establish that trust? It's a big question. And also what resources are needed from you and to you in order to make this happen?
So the basic assumption is that people want to release their energy. I mean, that's what they're paid for, to do work. That's what humans are all about. They want to achieve something, they want to get something done. Now, again, there's a tension between what we call uncertainty and that desire to release that energy. The question is, how do you deal with that tension? Uncertainty kind of makes people hesitant. It creates stress, and it's not the situation where we all perform at the best here. That's why this is a bit of a tension between this uncertainty and the release of energy here. Now, we have found out that people that have trust, they can deal with uncertain situations in an easy way. Give you an example. Well, there's a Swiss example because we are living up in the mountains and it's cold, and overnight a road can freeze up, so it's all kind of frozen. And the question is, how do you actually walk across a frozen ice plate? Okay. If you're uncertain about it, if you start hesitating and still try, then the likelihood that you fall is actually quite big. Yeah. If you're certain about the case and say, that's no problem, I've done this many times, then essentially you have trust in what you're doing and you can easily cope with it here. So people deal with uncertainty with trust. Organizations, on the other hand, need to deal with this in a way that they offer people the trust. This essentially means that leaders need to trust their teams, their people, in order to deal with uncertainty and in order to release most of their energy here. So trust is an absolute key in that sense when it comes to performance, when it comes to dealing with uncertainty. And once again, I mean, we know that from many survey questions that companies perform, these kind of employee surveys are being done. When it comes to trust and stuff like that, then I think we have a huge issue in companies. It's not a natural thing to have. And the amount of mistrust is often also deeply embedded in the culture. So mobilizing the energy is essentially about trust, and it's leaders that learn how to give people the trust they deserve. Let me add a little thing here. This is always when you talk about trust. Why do people employ, or why do leaders employ people where they have no trust in them? It beats me. I don't get it. But that's something that we often see when we run our diagnostics. So trust is the one and only bonding element in any company here.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really interesting, especially now everyone's sort of working from home. And I think people that haven't had that before, it probably has been down to a lack of trust, really. So it's been really interesting when everyone's been forced into this, that trust has just had to happen. I think everyone's sort of going through that, but it's been really interesting to see, actually.
Trust in the kind of digital remote type work situation is almost the most important thing here. If you don't have it, then I don't think you really get work done as a team. So anyway, that's kind of like the third lever with the choice between, you know, we call it bureaucracy or a self-organization here. Bureaucracy essentially doesn't build trust here. However, when you ask team to self-organize, then you give trust away. So again, businesses have choices there on how they want to do things.
I mean, the fourth and final lever is maintaining the focus, which arguably is one of the biggest challenges. I mean, I've been in so many places where, you know, you've set out a goal and it's, you know, you have all the intention when it begins, but it just seems to, you know, dwindle away halfway through. I mean, what advice do you have for those that are trying to stay on track?
Well, that's one of my favorite topics. Let me explain it in the following way. I've actually just worked through a diagnostic set with a company that just finished all the questions here. And focus was one of the very red zones right. in that specific organization. So we have a question in there, you know, are you able to focus your attention on those things that matter most to you here? And they answered, no, we don't. Now, there is a tension between focus and volatility. Okay, just imagine the following here. If you have a volatile situation, then any kind of budget, any kind of plan, any kind of performance target is obsolete the moment you actually start your work, because things keep changing here. However, we have a traditional management has been built on the idea that we set performance targets, objectives in an annual type of a schedule, and then assume that they remain the same all the time. Well, fact is, in a volatile situation, things change quicker than you actually can redesign your objectives. So why do you do it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the science behind it is actually quite simple. People have the ability to focus their attention. Focus of attention is one of the skills that we have within our bodies, within our minds here. So successful leaders, they actually help their people to focus their attention. You know, this focus and attention means that there is no distraction outside, that you know what you're supposed to be doing, that you can concentrate on it. Concentration is something that you always have to build up again. The easiest way is actually to explain it with the golf game, okay? In the golf game, when you start focusing on your targets, then your stress level increases and the ability to actually have a good golf shot is completely gone. However, on the other hand, when you focus on one specific thing on your swing, then your body can learn and automatically your golf game improves. And at work, it's exactly the same thing. So there is a tension between this, what we call target setting, this traditional way of doing stuff, and what we call focus of the attention, which is what every human being already has. So what we are saying, it's better to nurture that capability that we already have, which is maintaining the focus through focus of attention here. It's actually quite simple, but I still don't understand why businesses aren't doing it that way, because it works much better. Now, this is one of the examples that kind of closes the loop to the beginning here. It's time that businesses that operate in a VUCA-type environment start removing some of their hurdles like target setting and start building the capabilities for those things that humans already have. And essentially, that's what people-centric management is all about.
I mean, it sounds really familiar sort of when you're trying to change even like a personal habit. If you focus on one, it's much easier to actually, you know, successfully change a habit. Whereas if you're trying to change 10 different things at the same time, it's very, very rarely successful. And I think New Year's resolutions should probably listen to that a bit more.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, focus of attention is a simple thing. When you have a desk and 10 things on your desk that are of equal importance, you can start ranking them, you can do whatever. But if you start focusing on one thing that you have on your desk, then the other things fall in the same way. They kind of happen in the same way. So if you start doing one thing, the other things get done at the same time here. That's kind of a super benefit of what we call focus of attention. Well, I think I can close with what I said at the beginning. I think the way we manage and organize definitely needs change. It needs change with people-centric capabilities, with agile-type organizations, and what we call dynamic operating system. Dynamic operating system means that all the routines, the tools, and the rules that you use in order to manage an organization need to adapt a dynamic environment and not what we had in the past 100 years, management being built on a relatively stable context. That just isn't the case anymore. That's kind of my ambition. That's what I work for. That's what I talk about. It's changing our tools like target setting to new ways of doing things. Amazing. That's what people-centric management is all about. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to find out more, buy the book. It's the last thing.
Yep.
I mean, for anyone that's interested in knowing more about you and your work, where can they find you or get in touch?
I think the best source is our website. It's called agilityinsights.net. It has lots of resources on there. It has all the other books on there. It has kind of our diagnostic tool on there. So that's really the center of all our insights and research and knowledge that we have been built over the past 20 years.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you too.
Amazing. All I need to do is go ahead. Lucas, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you everyone for listening. Don't forget to keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram for information about new books, experts' opinions and more podcasts with experts such as Lucas Michel. I'll see you next time on Lid Radio Podcast.